something for your personal benefit, for you to receive healing, but it's to help equip you to minister to others who are dealing with struggles in their lives regarding healing, okay? And so there's nobody that has the last word on any subject. True? I mean, but I have learned over the years some things about healing. I teach, I've been healed of cancer. My son Michael was healed of a muscular arthritic condition. My granddaughter was healed of club feet in her mother's womb. I mean, I've just seen so many. You just came too late to tell me God doesn't heal. Okay? He's a healing God. I mean, if you could go in the medical field and you know God heals. I mean, God made the body so it would heal. Yeah? I mean, you try operating on a doll or something and see what happens. I mean, it doesn't heal by itself. But the body, God set the body up to heal. Is that true? And so we're going to talk tonight about the things that I've seen that are the primary enemies to your healing. This is all comprehensive, but these things, if you'll drive the enemies out of the land, you can't help but be healed. Amen? Amen? So we're going to talk about that, but before we do, I have a funny. Is that okay? Amen. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's all right.
All right. So this is about Lone Ranger and Tonto. Y'all know Lone Ranger and Tonto. So the Lone Ranger, I mean, when I was 5 years old, I was in the hospital, and they wouldn't let me watch the Lone Ranger. So that's how long ago that was. So, and I was bummed out. So the Lone Ranger and Tonto stopped in the desert for the night. And after they got their tent all set up, both men fell sound asleep. Some hours later, Tonto wakes up the Lone Ranger and says, "Kemosabe, look toward sky. What you see?" The Lone Ranger replies, "I see millions of stars." "What that tell you?" asks Tonto. The Lone Ranger ponders for a minute, then says, "Well, astronomically speaking, it tells me there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of planets. Astrologically speaking, it tells me that Saturn is in Leo. Time-wise, it appears to be approximately a quarter past 3 in the morning. Theologically, it is evident the Lord is all-powerful and has created this wonderful universe. Meteorologically, it seems we'll have a beautiful day tomorrow. What does it tell you, Tonto?" Tonto's silent for a moment. They said, "Kemosabe, you dumber than rock. It means someone stole our tent." Oh, man. That is funny. Praise God. So my greatest passion is to help people know the Lord intimately, and out of that relationship with Him, receive every benefit that He has for them. When I get to heaven, I want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I don't want to hear "well." And when I get to heaven, do you understand? And this is a trick question. You understand there's going to be no tears in heaven? Wrong. He's going to wipe away tears. Why would He have to wipe away tears? Well, it could be tears of joy, but I don't think He's going to wipe those away. It's over regrets, things that we could have walked in, things that we could have had, could have received. And there are, listen, guys, this church, you are the church, and God's got so much for you. And even as you go out and evangelize and win the lost, I mean, you need to be ready to see them get healed. And you need to help them walk in their healing. Luke 5, 12 and 13. "And it happened when He was in a certain city, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored Him, saying, 'Lord, if You're willing, You can make me clean.' Then He put out His hand, touched him, saying, I am willing. Everybody say, Jesus said, I am willing. I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him. If you will, this leper said, I know you can if you will. And then Jesus answered that and said, I will. And that's he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It takes no faith to believe that God can heal you, but you got to settle the question, is he willing to heal you? I said, is he willing to heal you? I'm asking you, is he willing to heal you? You got to settle that, okay? That it's God's will to heal you every time, all the time, not some of the time. If it's just some of the time, then you could never believe him for any time. It's his will, and you've got to know that. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and healing is his will for everyone, every time, all the time. Well, how come that not everybody every time, all the time gets healed? Well, how come everybody every time, all the time doesn't get saved? Amen. Is it God's will for them to be saved? If you witnessed to somebody and they didn't get born again, did that change God's will? No, God wants everybody. Look, is it ever the will of God one day? How many parents are out there here tonight? Is it ever been the will of God for you one day for any of your children to be sick? No. Not one day? Is it ever the will of God? Would you ever want your children sick? No. And are you telling me God, you're a better parent to your children than God is to his? No, it's not. Look, it's not the will of God. You don't have to die sick. Okay, I understand there's sickness in the world. Why is there sickness out there? The devil's a mean devil. And the devil's defeated, but he's not dead. And he enforces authority where you and I are ignorant. Not where we're unintelligent, where we're ignorant. We're all ignorant just on different subjects. Are you hearing me? And so we need to get on. I've come tonight to de-ignorantize you about healing, okay? But the simple answer, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Who is it that he can devour? Those that don't know. That healing is the will of God every time, all the time. And so, again, I'm not, man, I have compassion. I'm not saying that I never, or people that believe never face battles or struggles or things that take a while. Okay, I understand, but that doesn't change the will of God, guys. Yes? Doesn't change the will of God. And so, tonight, I simply want to talk to you about the primary enemies of your healing, because healing belongs to you, okay? And these are the things that I've discovered. I teach at a Charis Bible College, and I teach their healing school a lot. But it's not just there. I've learned some of this here at Calvary through Pastor and other ministers that he's brought in. I've learned this over the years as I pastored, and God helped me to help people receive healing all the time, and where it's simple. Amen. And so I'm going to tell you five enemies, okay? Five enemies. And if you drive these enemies off of your land, you'll hatch off and get well. Okay? I mean, you can't not get well. And so for some of us, you're going to see that maybe three or four of these enemies aren't on your land. But you know, the children of Israel never drove out all the enemies. Right. And we're going to drive them all out. Yes? That's my assignment, is drive out all the enemies. And everyone who's watching online, I just want to welcome you and say that God's a healing God, and he's got healing for you right where you are watching. And we want to say thank you for taking the time to watch Calvary Cathedral live. Hallelujah. All right, so enemy number one is blindness. Everybody say blindness. Okay, primarily, it's blindness in failing to discern the Lord's body. Okay? It's blindness. And 1 Corinthians 11, 29 through 30 says, he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Why is it that he says here, many are weak, many are sick, and many die early? What is it that causes that, David? What did he say here? We're not discerning, or we're not seeing the Lord's body. He just told you, right? He just gave you the answer. Why are many weak? Why are many sick? And why do some people die prematurely? Because they don't see, they don't discern the Lord's body. Now, you know, I could just take the entire service to unpack this, okay? But let me just hit some high points. In what ways what areas, there are three dimensions that we need to see the Lord's body. Three dimensions. The first dimension is we need to see the Lord's physical body that took stripes on his back for you and I 2,000 years ago. So that's the first discerning of it. Why are many sick? Why are many weak? Why do many die prematurely? Because they don't see that what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, when he paid the price for all of our sins, that he also took all stripes on his back for all of our sicknesses and all of our diseases. True? And Paul's very clear here about the reason many are sick. And discerning the Lord's body, we have to see that first of all, Jesus atoned perfectly for all of our sins, all of our sicknesses, all of our anxiety of mind, our lack and our poverty, because when it said that the chastisement of his peace, of our peace was upon him, that word peace includes prosperity. So Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, surely he has borne our griefs, that's sicknesses, and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. How many of you believe that? And he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. Whatever provision is included in the atonement of Jesus on the cross belongs to each of us. True? He didn't die for himself. Jesus didn't die for himself. He died for you and I to assign to us, his heirs, all the benefits of that atonement. And if it didn't happen, then he died in vain. But he did die. And he didn't do it for himself. He did it for you and me. And we're real clear on the fact that he died for our sins. In fact, when you go lead someone to the Lord, and I want to commend you, Calvary Cathedral International, you know, 100-some thousand people have come to Jesus through your ministry, and praise God for that. But whenever you start to lead anybody from the Lord, how many of you have ever led a bad dude or a bad dudette to the Lord? And how many of you know you didn't worry one time about whether God would save them, did you? No. Why? What gave you the confidence that bad dude or that bad dudette would get healed? I mean, that would be saved. What gave you the confidence? Because Jesus already paid the price 2,000 years ago. Yeah? But the same person, and including yourself, can come to the Lord for healing, but they're not seeing that their stripes were taken on Jesus' back the same way that he died for them on the cross. And so they actually come to the Lord for healing like they're going to a loan officer for an unsecured loan. He loves me, loves me not. I mean, we're wishing upon a star. We're coming with no confidence. Why? And that's why we don't receive, because we're not seeing. We're blind. We're not discerning that the same price that paid for our sins paid for all of our sicknesses and diseases. Do you see that? And I mean, I could just take the whole time and talk about this. But that's why a lot of people are not healed. They're not discerning. They're not seeing that what Jesus did 2,000 years ago includes all of their sicknesses, all their diseases, past, present, and future. And it's no problem for God. I said, why is it no problem? Why, you know, it's no problem for Him to save them from all their sins. And their sins, that's bad stuff, man. You understand? And Jesus paid the price for that. And he paid the price for our peace of mind. Man, all so much you could just look at and see what He did. But suffice it to say, here's the point. The point is, the reason why one of the greatest enemies that we have is that we're blind to that. And I'm not saying we all are. Some of us are. That's why some don't receive. The second area of not discerning the Lord's body is the Lord's spiritual body on the earth. The Lord's spiritual body on the earth. Because how many of you are a member of the body of Christ? Okay? Second Corinthians chapter 2. Let's look at that. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. Now, whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. Everybody say forgive. For if indeed I've forgiven anything, I've forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. What is one of the devices of Satan that can cause him to take advantage of us? And then context here. What is he? What is it? Unforgiveness? Everybody say unforgiveness. So if you're not discerning the Lord's spiritual body on earth, and you allow unforgiveness or strife or judgment or offense in your heart toward another brother, it says right here the enemy can take advantage of us. Well, what ways could he take advantage of us? He could afflict us with sickness and disease, and because we're unwilling to forgive, we've given the enemy place, like Andrew Womack says, to eat our lunch and what? Now, what does he mean when he says that? What does he mean? What does it mean to let the enemy eat your lunch and pop the bag? What does that mean? You're giving the devil place in your life. And if you don't see that, guys, if you don't see that, I don't have to be close buddy-buddy with everybody. I forgive a lot of people that I don't trust. Okay? I mean, they're flesh. I don't trust them further than I can throw them. And I've had people steal money from me. You know, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but you steal from me once and it's not going to happen again. I mean, I'm not giving you the keys to the treasury again. But you know, the bottom line is we have to choose to forgive and not and live our lives free from offense. People are going to hurt us and people are going to do wrong, and Christian people. But we've got to discern the Lord's body. I know Janice came to me one time when you know, Pastor came and helped us through a terrible church split, and he just became a friend to us. And man, we had my worship leader and a third of my congregation went down the street and started another church and had all kinds of wonderful things, you know. But Janice came to me one day, and in fact, she was complaining to Joy one time, you know, about all this. And Joy wouldn't have anything. She wouldn't put up with that. She told Janice, she said, "Well, we've all done things that we've regretted later, haven't we?" She was expected to get, you know, pat her on the back and stay a victim, and Joy helped her to get out of her victimhood. But the bottom line is, guys, is think people are going to do stuff wrong. We've got to choose to forgive them. And Janice came to me and said, listen, the Lord showed me that those folks that did us wrong, they're just as much part of the body of Christ as we are. And we need to love them and pray for them and bless them. And oh man, I didn't want to do that. You know, but we've got to, one of the primary enemies of our healing is blindness. He told you there in 1 Corinthians, we're not discerning the Lord's body. And I'm not telling you have to do this perfectly, but at least you have to present yourself to the Lord. Show me my heart the way you see me. If there's any unforgiveness or offense in my heart where it's causing this judgment and offense, it's stopping me from loving that person and praying for that person and blessing that person, God, show me and get it out. Amen? Because I don't want to give the devil place. In fact, I'm not going to. And that's why we need one another. That's why we need relationships. That's why we need pastor. And that's why we need the body of Christ. And I go to several people that I'm in relationship with. Look, if you see anything in my life that's unlike Jesus, you tell me. If there's offense, if there's unforgiveness, if there's bitterness, anything that you see, show me, because I don't want to give place to the devil. In fact, I'm not going to. How many of you with me? Amen. And then the third dimension of discerning the Lord's body, and the reason why people are sick today, is they're not discerning themselves as part of the Lord's body. Look at your neighbor, say, you're part of the body. And his body's not sick. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And in Romans 8:11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, does he dwell in you? Okay. Then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit that abides in you. You've got resurrection life on the inside of you. That, how did Jesus walk free from sickness and disease? By the Spirit that dwelt within him. It was resurrection life, man, in your spirit. And it just from the inside out. It's resonating through you. And it dries up sickness and it drives it out of your body. And man, the sickness can't stay in my body. Pain can't stay in my body because I see that I'm part of the body of Christ. And in the body of Christ, when Jesus walked the earth, he wasn't sick. And so I'm not choosing. I'm not being sick. I'm not saying I've never been sick. I'm just saying, but the Spirit that raised him up, look, the same Spirit that raised him up from the dead dwells in us. Man, if you see that, wow. Man, I'm supercharged from the inside out. But we got to see that, guys. And you know why many people, they're sick? They don't see any of that I just told you. And for you teachers and preachers, man, you can preach this better than I just did, and because I've got some other points I want to cover. But hey, this is enough. This will get people healed. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as a sick, or do you see yourself as healed that the enemy's just attacking your body? And a lot of people, they live a compensatory life. They compensate, you know, for their sickness and their disease. I don't see myself that way, because I see myself with the Spirit of Christ inside of me, that raised Jesus from the dead, and anything that hits my body is leaving in Jesus' name with that resurrection power. Bzzz, you know, I mean, I'm just making my own sound effects here, but that's the way I see it. It's just that life, you know, flowing out of me. And I mean, what do you expect is happening to you when you lay hands on people? It's that resurrection life flowing through you. It's man. It's the power of God. And you're touching people. And like, it's not your natural, it's not how you pray with spizzeringtum or some kind of in Jesus' name, you know. But I see that. I see that when I'm laying hands on somebody, I'm like the jumper cables, and that power that's in me, bzz, just bow, shocks them, man, gets them well. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you that tonight because you're going to do that tonight. Everybody just help me go. Bzz. And it's, what are we doing? We're just making that, you know, expression from the inside out, man. He's flowing through you. Amen. Yeah. He's flowing through you. And you got to see it. We got to stop seeing ourselves living from a deficit. We're not living from a deficit. Man, I mean, the power of Christ is on the inside of you. And we got to act like it and believe it. And look, I tell you, when I do this best is when the enemy's attacking me. I just go out and give healing away. And as I sow it, man, I reap it. Hallelujah. Amen. Man, that's powerful. So I'm just praying that you see this, that you discern the Lord's body in these three dimensions, His spiritual, His physical body that paid the price for all of your sicknesses, all your disease, the spiritual body on earth. That you look, we can't be playing games with offense and unforgiveness and judgments. You know, there was all this stuff on Facebook. There's so much Facebook fables, guys. You need to be careful about Facebook. I mean, use it, but man, all this stuff, you know, about different evangelists buying airplanes and one thing or another. Well, maybe I wouldn't buy that airplane, but God hadn't put that in my heart. But if He assigned that man, that minister, you know, to buy an airplane, that's He's God's servant. What is that to you? I said, what is that to you? Stay away from all this judgment. It opens the door to the devil. Whether he's got to stand before God, and so do you. And I'm going to stand before Him as much as possible, judgment free. God hasn't assigned me to do the same thing that He assigned Him to do. But if He did, then I just believe Him, just what He tells me to do, and I wouldn't worry about what you thought about it. Are you hearing me? Stay out of judgment, guys. You're not discerning the Lord's body. When you do that, you're cursing the Lord's body. Amen. Selah. Hallelujah. So I'm praying, man. I'm praying. Look, if you just would pray Ephesians 1, 17 through 19 over yourself. God, that you give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Jesus, the eyes of my understanding be enlightened. Help me to see your body. Help me to see, Lord, that I'm part of your body. Help me to see the spiritual body of Christ. Help me to see what you did for me 2,000 years ago. Now, I'm not going to spend as much time on each of these other points, but how many of you see what I'm trying to get you to see? Pray over this, guys. Make it, God, there's times when, you know, pastors preach some things and it's like, I know it's real with him, but God, it's not as real with me, I have to be honest, as it is with him. Would you make this so? Would you reveal this to me? Because I don't want to come behind in any good gift. Amen. Praise God. So enemy number two. For enemy number one is blindness. Enemy number two is idolatry. Idolatry. And this one is not as obvious as the other one. But what do I mean by idolatry? Well, it's simply, you know, if you love and worship and value and esteem something more than the Lord, would you agree that's idolatry? And yet that's what people do all the time when it comes to God and His Word. They are worshiping, they are valuing, they are esteeming the word of a doctor, the word of their experience, the word of somebody else above the word of God, and it's idolatry. You know, the doctor comes to you and tells you, you got stage 4 cancer. Let me tell you something, guys. I mean, yeah, that can strike fear in your heart, but that doctor's not God. Amen. And I don't care if they tell you got stage 7 cancer. Look, I am not going to get an idolatry. I'm going to value this word above the word of any other report in any area of my life. And the reason why many people let healing be stolen from them is they're unconsciously, unintentionally in idolatry. They are esteeming, valuing, and worshiping and placing higher value on what some fact of life, some situation that's, it may be a fact, but God's word says something different. By his stripes, you were healed. Yeah, but the doctor says, well, you just entered into idolatry. I'm not dissing the doctor. I'm not saying that what he's saying is not a fact. I'm just telling you, I'm not going to butt the truth with the fact. I'm going to butt the facts with the truth. Well, he says, by his stripes you were healed, but the doctor says this. Well, who gives a rip? I am not going to enter into idolatry for any doctor. I don't care. Well, yeah, but he's been trained for 10 years, and he's done 30,000 surgeries. You know, ask me if I care. If I'm going to have somebody do surgery on me, I want somebody that's done it before. Okay? But I'm not believing that greater than this. And it's very simple, guys. You know, Isaiah 53, verse 1. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who, the arm of the Lord is signifies the power of God. Who is going to receive the power of the Lord in their life? Those that believe this report above every other report. Pastor preached a great message in the mountains one year about the first report's not the last report. And then Andrew and Jamie's son died in an overdose situation, and they were tempted to enter into grief, but they remembered the message that Pastor preached, that the first report's not the last report. Are you hearing me? The first report's not the last report. Look at your neighbor and say, the first report's not the last report. No. God has the last word. I said, he has the last word. If you'll give him that kind of authority by valuing, esteeming, worshiping, and placing this higher than everything else that you hear, everything else you feel in your body, everything else you've experienced. Look, guys, that there is a battle. There is a faith battle that you have to go through to many times, because the enemy doesn't just lay down and play dead, because he's trying to control you. He's trying to rip you off. Does that tick you off? That he's trying to rip you off? Come on, guys. We need to stop laying down and playing dead just because a doctor with four, I don't care how many years of experience. I'm not dissing the doctors. And I am not ashamed to go to a doctor if God leads me to go and my wife tells me to go, because she has authority over my body. And so does the Lord. And I've had the Lord tell me to go to the doctor before. So it's not about, faith is not about taking medicine, not taking medicine, going to the doctor or not going to the doctor. Faith is about whose report do you believe? And I am not going to get into idolatry listening to somebody who's got medical experience and putting that a higher value than God in his word. But people do it all the time, and they wonder why they're not healed. I can tell you right now, they're in idolatry, and they don't know it. And I've just come to give you a good message tonight to help people drive that idol out of their lives. I don't care what the banker says. I don't care what your child says. I don't care what your husband or wife says. I don't care what the doctor says or the lawyer says or, you know, whatever. Listen, I'm going to get on the Word of God and get a word from God, and that's going to trump everything else. And one word from God will drive sickness and disease out of your life. But so many times we just get so caught up in what we see and what we feel and what the doctor says. And again, no, please, I am not against you. You know that. I'm not against doctors. And I mean, I've helped pay for people to go to the doctor. Thank God for doctors. But I'm not going to idolize that doctor in his or her word. We got to keep exalting the truth above the facts. If you want to see healing in your life and you want to drive this enemy out, you got to value that word and you got to exalt the truth above the facts. And let me tell you something. I can't tell you how long it's going to take. Okay, we're going to get to that point here in a minute. But, you know, you can't receive from God with your eyes on the calendar and the clock. You are not going to receive, I'm just telling you, take this to the bank. You are not going to receive from God with your eyes on the calendar or the clock. Well, how long do you have to believe? Okay. Are you a believer? How did you get into the kingdom? You believed. What did you believe? But what part of the word? You believed. Whoever confesses with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believes in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, that person's saved. Is that right? Yes. And so you believe God raises dead people? Yes. Really? Yes. You believe that? Yes. You believe that God raises dead people? Yes. You got into the kingdom believing God raises dead people. Yes. True? Yes. Did you see the event? And yet you believe it. And then how many of you believe you're going to heaven when you die? Have you ever been there? And yet you believe it? How many of you believe your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have any of you seen the book? But yet you believe? Pastor, this is a weird group. Your very eternal existence is based on you believing God raised Jesus from the dead. You never saw the event. You're going to heaven, a place you've never been, and your name's written in a book you've never seen. And yet you're very eternal. You're staking your eternal existence on those things that you haven't seen. And yet you're struggling with a little healing that you haven't seen yet, a little financial blessing you haven't seen yet, a little relational harmony you haven't had. You're struggling with that, really? We're believers, man. Come on, get with the program. You're a believer. What do believers do? We believe. How long do we believe? I believe in man till I leave this earth. So how long do you believe? That is not, I mean, if I was Andrew, I would say something I shouldn't say right now. That is not wise. Are you hearing me? Enemy number three, tolerance. I'm not going to spend a long time on this. Tolerance. What do I mean by that? Treating sickness like it's a friend instead of an enemy. John 10:10 said, the thief comes not but to kill, steal, and destroy. Are you hearing me? So he's a thief and he's trying to steal from you. But you know what? A lot of people let him steal from them. And why would we tolerate sickness and treat it like a friend instead of an enemy? Because of the attention that we get. You remember when you were sick when you were a kid? You got to stay home from school and got to drink all the 7-Up and watch TV all that you want. And your militant sergeant mother became a compassionate nurse. You got attention from that. And remember how you nursed that for all it was worth. Are you hearing me? Come on, don't tell me. How many of you nursed that for all? I mean, you started off sick, and then you. How many of you would admit you stayed home one day longer? Yeah, because wait, well, there's benefits. I said there's benefits. I've prayed for people before that have told me, don't pray for me, I'm going to lose my disability. Serious. Why are people not healed? Because they just tolerate it because they like the benefits they get from it. I mean, it's nice to be the first one on the plane in those wheelchairs. And I promise you that only half, probably 25% of them need to be in a wheelchair. As they get down there, they get up and give me an ignorant break. You just want to get to the front of the plane, man. You don't want to wait in line. It's a benefit. Now, I'm not uncompassionate toward people. I mean, toward people that, well, maybe a little bit, but I'm not uncompassionate toward somebody that's in a handicapped state or that we should be considerate of them. But you know what, guys? A lot of people don't. They haven't got mad at the devil yet. You're not going to get rid of it until you get mad at it. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor Greg. Yes, sir. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 7. Surely oppression makes a wise man mad. You are not going to get free from it till you're mad at it. Amen. You're not going to get free from it until you're mad at it. If you put up with it, you keep it. But you got to get mad at it. Devil, you are a trespasser. Pain, you are out. You are not living in my body. My body doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to pain. You got to get mad at it. People just tolerate it. That's why. You got to get angry at sickness and disease, guys. Just like you do would sin. Amen? Then enemy number four. Is this okay? Look, each of these, I mean, I'm not giving this all the time. I mean, this is like, you know, a five-part series, and you could teach all of this, but I wanted to give you this, and you could pray and help people. So enemy number four is passivity. Passivity. Do you ever watch Andy Griffith? Barney Fife? That's him. The guy had done knew what he had a gun, didn't know what to do with it. Had handcuffs, he didn't know what to do with it. He wasn't walking. I mean, Andy walked around with no gun and walked in authority. Barney had all the stuff and you know what I'm saying. There's a lot of Christians like Barney Fife, Casper Milktoast, wimp, spiritual wimp. And all the time and what ways do we do this? Well, praying and asking God to come down and heal us. Now, it's all right to ask the Lord for healing, but healing's not going to, he's not coming down to heal you. He's already inside you. And you release the healing that's on the inside of you. It's all right for you to call on the Lord for healing, but he already, what you need to do rather is look back at what he's done rather than trying to get him to do, like Andrew has written this book, you know, you've already got it. Where do you got it? In your spirit. Are you hearing me? Or you're asking someone that you have more confidence in their prayers than your own to pray for you. Now, thank God, I'm not against prayer. This is not, well, you know, I'm not, this is not an anti-prayer message. I'm a prayer person, you tell me about a need you have, except for tonight. I mean, after I leave, I'll pray for you from afar. But I'm not going to tell you I'll be praying for you. I'm going to grab your hand and pray for you right there. So I'm believing in prayer. But here's the thing, I believe in prayer, and I believe in the power of prayer. But what happens many times is we abdicate our own authority because we place greater confidence in pastor's prayer for us, or we turn it into the prayer tower. And there's nothing wrong with turning it into the prayer tower to agree with us. But I'm not giving pastor or the prayer tower my authority. I'm asking you to stand with me in agreement. And I've done that many times. But there's a difference between getting them to agree with you and then asking them to do your praying for you. And giving up your authority. You don't have confidence, but you've got the authority. You've got all the power and all the authority that you need to run the devil out of your life. Are you hearing me? Luke 9, 1 and 2. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority. Now, you know, that word power and that word authority are two different Greek words. He gave them power and authority over all demons to cure diseases. He sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So that word power is the word dunamis, where we get our word, it's that dynamite, okay? It's the miraculous force or might, okay? It's the weapons to carry out your authority. And then the word exousia, dunamis is miraculous force or might, okay? Then that would be like the power of God in the gifts of the Spirit, you know, the power of God on the inside of you that you have to heal the sick and so on. Then exousia is a different kind of authority. That's the jurisdiction or the badge to function in a realm to have authority. Okay? That's like a deputy. How many of you have been in the police force or anybody here been as a policeman here? Okay, over here. And so that means you have, let's call this Healingville. And Steve he's been deputized to oversee Healingville. And any thief that comes into Healingville, then it's his job. We deputize him to watch over and make sure that no thieves come in, right? And then Jesus deputized us. He gave us a badge and said, I'm giving you authority. I'm giving you the jurisdiction in Healingville to drive demons and sickness out. And then I didn't just give you the jurisdiction, the badge. I also gave you the gun, the taser, the handcuffs, the dunamis, the miraculous power to enforce it, right? And then what happens many times, can you hand me my cell phone, honey? You know what happens many times? What we do is when the enemy comes into our life, you know, what we do is we pick up the phone, you know, and we call the chief, okay? And we say, Chief, there's a thief in Healingville. Would you come and arrest him? What's the chief going to tell you? I deputized you. I'm not going to leave my position. And that's what many times that what we do in prayer is, oh God, would you get the devil for me? Oh God, come down and heal me. Oh God, no, he deputized you and me. And it's all right for you to call on the Lord, but you're calling on the Lord to remind yourself, look, you gave me the power. Help me to see that. Help me to walk in it. And I'm going to drive the enemy out and I'm going to arrest him. We can't play Barney Fife with this stuff, guys. And that's where a lot of Christians are. And they just give up their place of authority. They've been deputized by the Lord, delegated by the Lord to have authority, all power and all authority over all sickness and over all demons. Hallelujah. And then when we get a negative report from the doctor, oh my God, oh. No, man, take your toddler pants off. Put your big boy and big girl pants on and step into your place of authority. And arrest the enemy. Drive him out. Amen. Don't wimp out. Drive the enemy out. Praise God. And that's why a lot of people, they're just passive. Or they're putting off their authority either on the Lord or on some other Christian they have confidence in that can pray better than them. And look, guys, no more. No more. Stop that. You've been given authority. You've been given all power. God's got confidence in you. I understand you're going to have doubts hit your mind and fears and everything else, but I just stand up against it, man. No, get out. Leave my body. You go. Now, it's not wrong to call the prayer tower. It's not wrong to get somebody to agree with you, but you're not asking them to use your authority for you. Does that make sense? Praise God. Sometimes people misinterpret this, and I don't have enough time to unpack that anymore. So enemy number five, and we're about to land. Is that okay? And we're going to pray for folks. And the folks are going to be healed.
Amen.
Tonight.
Amen.
We're going to hear testimonies back of people being healed.
Amen.
How do I know that? Because Jesus is a healer every time.
Amen.
And I've never seen a time when we're praying for people and you give them the word that the Lord doesn't confirm His word with signs following.
Amen.
And I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about you. Amen? And not only healing for you tonight, but there are people God's going to bring into your path. And one of these steps that I'm talking about, these enemies, you're driving out of your land, you're going to help other people do the same thing. Has this been helpful so far? So the last thing is unbelief. Everybody say unbelief. And specifically, unbelief that's fueled by impatience. Unbelief that's fueled by impatience. And what do I mean by that? Okay, it means, when I first started learning about healing, I was in an Assembly of God church, and I had this growth come up in my neck, and it scared me, okay? And I mean, I'm 26 years old, and I mean, I've got a young family, and I knew God would heal. I didn't know very many of these things. And I had the healing that I'm telling you today. And I had the healing evangelist come and pray for me. And I might try to make a deal with God when I was in the line. I was trying to impress God. My brother needed salvation. So I said, well, Lord, what I'll do really, I'm coming for my brother's salvation. I want to be noble. Well, how many of you know God can save my brother and He can heal me too? And so, what happened in that group that I was in, we saw some healing, some real miracles, but they were only of the instantaneous kind. And then if the evangelist prayed for you and you didn't get healed, well, I guess it's kind of, he loves me, he loves me not. I mean, I don't know. If I'm, I guess he doesn't heal all the time. I don't know. And here's where unbelief comes in. When it's fueled by impatience, it's when you place all of your faith, your hope, your trust in an instantaneous healing. Putting all your healing eggs in the instantaneous healing basket. Are you with me? Yeah, but Jesus healed instantly, almost every time. There were a couple of instances. I'm going to share one of them with you tonight as we close. But yeah, He did. Then how come we don't see instantaneous healings? Well, there's probably a lot of reasons. But number one reason is you're not Jesus. I mean, Jesus had dealt adequately with unbelief, and many times you and I have not. But I know you have Jesus in you, but we still got to get our mind renewed, and Jesus spent a little bit more time doing that than most of us. But yet, He left His disciples with instruction in Mark 16:18, that My disciples will lay hands on the sick and they shall what? They shall what? What does recovery imply? A process. That's Jesus telling you and me that we're going to lay hands on people and people are going to what? Recover. That doesn't mean all at once. Now, I'm all for the instantaneous stuff. I love it. But what I'm more for is that when I like what Kenneth Hagin used to say, keep the switch of faith turned on. That when you pray, when you believe, don't stop believing just because you didn't see it in a day, a week, a month, or a year. Yeah, but how long is it going to take? Look, I just went through that whole thing with you. You're believing God for your eternal existence and your eternal destiny, and you're believing for, how long are you going to believe that? How long are you going to believe that? How long are you going to believe that? Forever. Well, how long do you believe for healing? I'm a believer. What do believers do? And I'm not stopping just because it looks worse. Are you kidding me? No way. I'm all about receiving instantaneously. But I'm not going to let go of my healing because it didn't manifest in a day or a week or a month or a year. And this is where many this enemy causes more problems in the body of Christ, and then what happens is they just give up, and then they don't pray for anybody, or they don't believe anymore. Well, I just, you know, and you, look, guys, as I shared with you earlier, you cannot receive from God with your eyes on the calendar or the clock. It's not going to happen. Far too many times, Christians begin in faith, trusting in God, and then when time passes and they haven't seen the change they're believing for, they quit, give up, or ask, why didn't it work for me? Why isn't it working? And what happens, or many times they get their focus on themselves, what am I doing wrong? Look, if you're doing something wrong, the Holy Spirit will show you. You get your eyes off of you, get it off the calendar and the clock, you get it on the Lord and on His Word, and He will bring it to pass. How long will it take? I don't know. But I know this, it'll take a lot longer if you stop believing. Amen. Just believe only. And I'm a believer, so how long am I believing? I'm believing, man, from now until Jesus comes. Are you hearing me? When He returns, will He find faith on the earth? Now, I'm just going to go to this one story in Mark chapter 9. And I think I've shared this with you here before, but it bears repeating. Because Jesus did not heal instantaneously every time. Most of the time He did. And in this one case, it didn't happen. But he was healed. And this is, they went up on the Mount of Transfiguration. He took Peter, James, and John with Him. They came back down. In verse 14, when He came to the disciples, He saw a great multitude around them, the scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw Him, all the people were greatly amazed, running to Him, and they greeted Him, and they asked, what are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd answered, verse 17, one of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. Wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. So this boy was having epileptic seizures, right? Okay. Then He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. They brought him to Him, and when He saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming at the mouth. Right in front of Jesus, the boy has a seizure. True? This was Jesus, guys. And the boy had a seizure. And Jesus freaked out. Did He? Did He freak out? I just wanted to make sure you're awake. No, He didn't freak out. He just said, how long has this been happening to him? He said, from a childhood. And often he's thrown him into the fire, into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion, help us. And Jesus said, well, if you can believe. And that's the key. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father cried out and said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That's a good prayer. Lord, if I've got any unbelief, help me. Show me where it's at. Right? Right? And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, He rebuked the unclean spirit, said to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him, enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out and convulsed him greatly. Now, here we have a grand mal seizure with Jesus. We got everybody say seizure? Grand mal seizure. It's looking bad with Jesus. And Jesus freaked out twice. No, but you know what happened? That spirit did the same thing with the disciples, and somewhere along the line, they freaked out. And they stopped believing. Yes? And look and watch. And then he became as one dead. Everybody say Caesar. Grandma Caesar. Dead. I mean, does that look like it was gone from bad to worse? And that's with Jesus, guys. And then Jesus, you know, raised the boy up and he was healed. And you know the rest of the story. His disciples said later, you can see in Matthew 17, this wasn't the disciples' first rodeo. They'd already, that in Matthew 17 records this same event, which was after Matthew 10, when he gave them power and authority to cast out devils. They came back and told him, man, the devils are subject to us. That wasn't their first rodeo. They'd already cast out devils, but they ran into the Incredible Hulk demon here. But Jesus is teaching them a lesson in you and me. Is because when things go from Caesar, Grandma Caesar, to dead, okay, well, you go from stage one cancer to stage four to stage nine, whatever they put on it. Listen, guys, I am not going to stop believing. I am going to keep believing. I'm going to hold on to the Word of God. I don't care what happens. I am locked in on what God said. What happens if you die? I'm going to die believing. That's what's going to happen. Are you hearing me? What happens if you pray for somebody and they die? I'm going to say next. Amen. I'm not going to stop believing. I'm not going to stop praying. I'm not going to stop. And you know what? We're going to see more people healed. Amen. Are you hearing me? Yes. You can't, guys. You can't let impatience move you out of faith. You cannot receive from God with your eyes on the calendar, the clock. And look, these enemies, they're common enemies. If we'll drive them out, guys, you are a danger to the enemy because you can't not get healed. And you can't not see people get healed. Are you hearing me? Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Let's stand up together. Let's lift our hands and just let's thank Him for His healing power. Let's thank Him for His healing power. Father, we thank You. We worship You. We bless You.
Thank
Come
you,
on.
Jesus.
Worship Him. Worship Him. Worship Him.
You,
worship Him. Worship Him. Kodobara sine poto. Kandiliri bosanabote kiata. Mengreste de botulabotahanse. Gembraste ne botahandalabande. Gebra banda de bondalabakahandiriote. We worship You, Lord. We worship You. We worship You. We worship You. We worship You. We bless You. You are our healer. You are my healer. And there's nothing that can stop that. I believe, Lord. My eyes are not on the calendar. My eyes are not on the clock. My eyes are not on me. My eyes are on You and what You did 2,000 years ago. I discern, Lord. You've paid the price for my body. I discern the body of Christ on the earth today, and I'm walking in love with them. I discern myself as part of the body, and the resurrection life of Jesus quickens and makes alive my mortal body. Lord, I'm not passive. I'm not tolerant of sickness and disease. I'm not ignorant of these things. I'm going to walk in my authority, and I'm a believer. I'm not entering into unbelief because of how long it's been. I'm believing. Praise God. Praise God. Thank You, Father. There's someone right now being healed of arthritis. You've had arthritis really bad. And man, it's painful. You've taken some stuff for it. But I'm telling you right now, the stripes of Jesus make you whole. That pain, I command it to leave your body. I command a reversal of that condition, restoring to normal, nimbleness in your fingers, and pain leaving your body right now. If that's you, just lift your hands and receive it. Lift your hands and receive it. in the name of Jesus. All kinds of joint pain is leaving. And there's people that have pain in your knees, and the Lord is healing that right now. There's pain in a right hip, and the Lord is healing that right now in the name of Jesus. Pain, you get out of the body of Christ. Someone's got some abdominal pain, and God's healing that. Right now, the healing power of God is manifested in this place because Jesus already paid the price. Hallelujah. There is glaucoma and cataracts that are being healed. Your eyes, God's opening your eyes because you've decided to discern His body. And the Lord's healing eyes and opening eyes and giving you 20/20 vision tonight in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Someone's had pain in your feet. I don't know if it's neuropathy. I don't know if it's a tingling, but you've had a lot of pain going on in your feet. Things have been out of order. Well, the devil is defeated. In the name of Jesus, we speak wholeness to your feet right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Someone has wanted to have a baby. You've been praying and the doctor said it's not possible. With God, with doctors it's not. With God, it's possible. And we just speak to you, your womb to be healed in the name of Jesus. Right now, in Jesus' name, I command that womb to be whole. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. There's all kinds of tumors and growths that are dissolving. Someone's got a tumor, a growth in your breast, and you haven't gone to have it checked. And now we curse that thing and command it to dissolve and leave your body in Jesus' name. You get out of the body of Christ. All kinds of tumors and growths and warts are being healed right now in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Let's lift our hands and thank Him. Father, we thank you. Jesus, you are our healer. You are my healer. I receive healing tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Now, someone's about to have, or the enemy was about to give you a kidney stones. And you've had some preliminary things there. But I'm just telling you right now, we're cursing that and commanding those kidney stones to be dissolved. To be dissolved in Jesus' name. You leave that body right now. Praise God. All kinds of healing is happening right now, guys. Why? How do I know this? Because I know Jesus is a healer. Praise God. We agree, Father, with Tom for Janie Autry, and we command that condition to leave her body. Yes. Janie Autry, we call you free from that, whatever that stuff is, in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is above the name of whatever has attacked you and afflicted you. And I pray, I release to you, Janie, the grace to discern Jesus and His body greater than what that stuff is that's attacked you. And you're going to go on the attack to the enemy. And God's going to use you, Janie Autry, to heal the sick. You're going to come out of that place like a tiger, and you're going to heal the sick. You're going to heal the sick. You're going to heal the sick in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. There's all kinds of healing going on in this place. Hey, look, guys, even if I didn't call out what you're dealing with, how many of you know Jesus called it out 2,000 years ago? And He took it on the cross for you. Amen. And how many of you have received tonight and you've seen an enemy that you've let stay on your land, but you're driving it out tonight? Praise God. Hallelujah. Now here's what we're going to do. If you need healing in your body, okay, and maybe some of you have already received. I'm trusting many of you. How many have already received something in your body right now? Already lift your hands. Praise God, several of you. All right, if you still need healing in your body, here's how we're going to do it. the body, here's the body of Christ. I want you to discern the body of Christ. It says they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Okay, so if you need healing, okay, I want you to lift your hand. If you need healing, get your hand up. Keep it up real high. All right, here's what I want. Keep your hand up if you need healing. Okay? Now here's what I want y'all to do. I want the body of Christ to look around, those that have their hands up, and you get over and you lay your hands on them. The resurrection life of Jesus is going to flow through you to them, and they're going to be what? They're going to be made well. Keep your hands up till somebody comes to you. Amen? And let's pray for them, guys. Amen? Let's believe God with them. Amen? Praise God. Say, I'm the healed. I'm the healed. I am the healed. Jesus, you're my healer. Y'all release the healing power of God to them, guys.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glorify God, glorify God, glorify God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, worship Him, worship Him, worship Him. Hallelujah. Oh, just let a spirit of praise sweep through this auditorium now. Yes, Lord. We receive our healing. We receive our healing. We believe.